Hey, what's up, AfterBuzzers? We got a great show for you here. We are on the pilot of Mayans MC, right? Episode Pero OC. We got Angel, Easy, M, Pop, the whole family going on there with the Galindo and the DEA, the Mayans and the Samoans and the shootouts, the motorcycles and the bullets, Los Olvidados, the rebels. Oh, my God, so much story being dropped here today. We're going to talk about all of that. Plus, we're also going to talk about our Mayans MVP and maybe a little bit of news. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah.
Get that funk going, right?
This, man, this soundtrack, we're just talking about right? You were showing it to me. There's probably like 3 or 4 songs that I want to hit. But as soon as they played War, me and you were like, this is the jam.
I'm just saying, I'm probably going to be playing the Spotify list during my workout tomorrow.
right? Yeah,
just
lick,
get down
man.
With it. There's a lot of good music on this. Right on. I am Jorge Payo. We're talking Mayans MC with my friend over here.
Hey, everybody, boy, Al G. Glad to be down with Jorge. Let's talk about Mayans, man. It's going to be a fun night.
Yeah. We got some cool stuff coming up. We'll talk about our Mayans MVP. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about a little bit of news from Kurt Sutter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do a little predictions. But first, overall thoughts from you, Al?
Overall thoughts. Did not disappoint. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, perfectly dovetailing where Sons of Anarchy left off.
Right on.
And then, you know, obviously there was a few cameos, and then I want to get into that yet.
Yeah.
But they seamlessly put you into this new world.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mayans always had their own world, you know, their own subculture from their motorcycle club. But here we get to go all the way in, you know, from like TJ to Oakland and, you know, just see what's on the other side of the border too.
Yes, sir, man. I think it was a goal that was made by Kurt Sutter at the beginning that he said he didn't want to make Mayans a Latino Sons of Anarchy,
mm-hmm.
and he definitely achieved that.
Yeah.
This is its own culture. This mm-hmm. is its own thing. We did have a couple of nice polite nods.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Robert Patrick coming in there, you know,
yeah.
making that Samoan sandwich.
And Katie Seagal, too.
Oh, that was lovely. Yeah. I was like, oh, look. right? Yeah. That was great.
I like the Samoan sandwich.
The Samoan sandwich in between, what was it, tortillas and some white bread.
Yeah, something like that. One of those guys, I don't know if anybody knows, Booyah Tribe, the old like 90s rock group, all Samoans. I swear one of the members of the Booyah Tribe were one of the gangsters in Samoan gang. So it's one to do with the pigtails and stuff.
Anybody, is that right?
Yeah, if anybody knows about the Booyah Tribe, check them out.
Right on. Well, if we're going to begin shout outs to the Samoans real quick, I want to give one out to my boy Cade, who I noticed was there with the machine gun. He got shot in the head by Coco. Sorry, you got killed.
R.I.P.
Right on. So let's talk about, you know, the familia, the family thing going on here. We got a couple of motherless boys, right, dealing with their dad who runs that the butcher shop, right?
Right.
Edward James.
Yeah, Edward James almost. It's, you know, even when you saw the previews, you know he was always going to be playing like this the patriarch type character.
Yeah.
And it's revealed, they tell you this pretty early on, or you get the feeling that Angel's an undercover, Easy's an undercover,
right.
And even they show him a flashback, even in high school, and he's got on like a Stanford, you know, like sweatshirt, he's all preppy and stuff, so you're like, okay, what happened to this guy, when did he get turned out, when did he become a gangster, and it's kind of like slowly revealed, we still don't know what happened to their mother, but it's obviously, they allude to the fact that it was something traumatic, and that she's gone.
Right.
And
right.
So
Pops has not spoken about it since the day.
Exactly.
Right? So now you got two sons. I'm guessing we didn't see any scenes between Angel and Pops.
That's funny, yeah.
Right? So there's definitely some sort of a strange relationship going on there. And obviously he looks at Easy Ezekiel a little bit differently, right? He's trying to help him out. He's there for his son.
Yeah.
I wonder what that that rift is between him and Angel, where that comes from.
Yeah, I know, and it's an interesting family dynamic because you know that if Easy started out on the straight and narrow, you know what I mean? Like, what made him cross the line? And the fact that his father is able to, I mean, he's basically able to hold him down throughout this whole thing. You know, he's still his son, and he's going to get, and he's it's revealed later that he's kind of like the his father's almost like his immediate handler until the DA guy comes in. But I mean, like, man, well, if your pops is doing all that too, he doesn't just love you. He wants to see you, you know, get right in this deal. Whatever evidence states evidence, he turned. We're just going to find out more.
Yeah, it was crazy from the beginning of the show, though, because you didn't know what deals were being made. Yeah. You know?
Who to trust?
Yeah. What to go on? I mean, I didn't trust a dog with the crow in the beginning over by the border wall
and the kids with the mask.
And the kids with the mask and a little mouse mask and all that. But then, so Ezekiel, something happens 8 years ago in high school, was going to go to Stanford, had the very pretty girlfriend, Emily, right? Mm-hmm. They were together for a few years, and we see that played out throughout the flashbacks, right? What else do we notice throughout the flashbacks? She's pregnant.
Yeah, she lays that on him. And Ezekiel's the typical hard guy. When he messes up and he thinks he's going down for 20, he just cuts her off. You know, no communication. And, you know, it's kind of like a trope you see when guys go to jail. You know what I mean? Just it'll be easier if we just have no communication. But, of course, you know, to make it more dramatic. Bam! She throws down, you know, the what do you call those things? The little X-ray.
The ultrasound.
The ultrasound.
She throws that down. And he goes like an ace. He goes wild. But I was rooting for them from the very beginning too. Yeah. And this couple of crazy little high school kids.
Man, you know, and it's, yeah. Well, we'll get to that later because we know how it turns out.
Yeah, true.
We know, like, you know, who she's connected to.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you think about the whole thing with, am I jumping ahead now with Angel bringing his brother in on all of these other twists?
The funny thing is, if it had just been a straight, like, bring him into the club thing, I really thought that, you know, what's the urgency? But what he really wants to bring him in is let him know that, like, they have this whole other thing going on with Los Olvidados. And that's the thing, okay, I think he feels bad about hiding from him. So it's not just like this, it's not just like the club. Everybody loves the club. The club is the family. But you have this hierarchy where, what's the brother who was in Sons of Anarchy? And they call him Pedrino.
Oh, Alvarez. Marcus Alvarez.
Yeah, he's kind of like the big shot caller, but he doesn't know that below a level that's going on below him, Angel has this thing going on with the whole Olvidados, and then, you know, he doesn't like the fact that they kind of have to, like, bow down to the cartel, and, you know, and Alvarez makes that comment, like, yeah, you know, it's like, those guys, they don't look at us like men, you know, just treat us like men, but they're like, you know, they're just basically, they're soldiers, they're like...
Right.
But getting back to your point, so it was necessary to bring Easy in if you're gonna let him get involved with the whole Olvidados thing. You have to let him know at that point.
You have to let him know. You gotta bring him in a little bit. But we saw that there was like some other back deals going on from the very beginning from the truck.
Oh my god!
Remember
goodness.
The truck?
Yeah,
and you and I both looked at each other like, wait a minute. What's that about?
they're on the road. The truck's bumping. Like, you know, two of the guys put the seatbelts on.
Yeah,
like,
that's Coco and Gilly.
Time.
I'm getting these names straight. Okay. There was a lot of names that were thrown at us tonight. I was writing them down, trying to get them straight.
And you and I both noticed that, but I was going to wait and see, because you never know if it's one of those things that's going to pay off or not.
Right.
And it did. And I'm glad you brought it up to me, because it totally paid off.
Yeah, yeah. Every little thing was like... It was just little raindrops or a trail of breadcrumbs.
Yeah, exactly.
The entire episode was a trail of breadcrumbs, all leading to these big dramatic moments that are going to lead into something even bigger.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was a moment where we both looked at each other, and I know the moment, and we were like, well, that's not going to be good for anybody.
Yeah.
That's not good
all
for anybody.
All kind of conflicting loyalties. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of ourselves, but just like, yeah. So we're talking about when they're rolling up in the van and they're going to do this, they're going to go do a deal, and then the van gets jacked.
Right.
But we're talking about the fact that these guys, you know, put on their seatbelts ahead of time. You know,
and then they grabbed a couple of rifles at the same time, like they were going to come out shooting.
Yeah. So basically, like, they're anticipating what's going on.
Right.
You know, so
who did they get the text from? They got a text before they put on, and it couldn't have been Angel, because Angel's arms were like up here at this point.
Somebody in Olvidados, I guess. Yeah. Who was sending the text? You know?
Aldita?
Maybe? There you go. Aldita or one of her kids. You know?
The mouse? The little mouse, maybe?
Little mouse mask. Yeah. But they got the private thing going on. And so, obviously, we don't find out till later that the Olvidados are the one pulling the strings for this jack move. But they're able to frame it on the Samoans, you know.
Right. Oh, man, those poor Samoans.
Yeah. Poor Afa.
Poor Afa. R.I.P. Afa. Oof, did he get taken
out? Afa got the short end of the stick. Well, short end of the machete.
Short arm of the machete, oh, more goodness. Likely. Yeah. Right? I mean, oh, God, keeping the violence up to par still.
Oh, man, when you see someone, if you're tied up and you see somebody come in a raincoat, it's not going to end good. If somebody comes in a raincoat over there, like over the three-piece suit, he doesn't want to get blood on his suit. So right. The raincoat means nothing's good is coming out of this.
Right, right. I mean, I just expected it to seem like wearing some protective glasses same time.
Yeah.
And then he just chopped off that one arm and then untied him and let it bleed out.
Oh, man. And my thing is, too, is like, yeah, I mean, can somebody, you can't, I guess in theory, if you were to tie up the arm really good, you might survive it. But like the way they're, the half-assed job they're doing in a warehouse, you know this guy's going to be dead in a few minutes. And unfortunately, I was kind of... exactly. With the sound effects. Yeah. Schmack! And they had all the sound effects, you know, like the bone and the crunching and everything. So yeah, so poor Afa, we're kind of rooting for him. He was just kind of like a big slug, you know, who's in over his head. And but he was the first casualty.
It seemed like that entire Samoan tribe got taken out.
Yeah, man, they were kind of like on the low end of the totem pole. I just felt like, yeah, they, you know, they're not. It seemed like they had more people, but they just they weren't as tightly organized. They weren't as about it versus the motorcycle gang.
But not only that, but then they had the Sons from San Dimas come rolling.
Exactly. That was Reaper gang back. As soon as they said Reapers landed, I was like, okay, that's a chapter of the Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, man, beautiful stuff. Now, how about, let's trail back a little bit to Easy and M and that whole love story. Mm. And now we see a little love triangle going on.
Yeah, oh, she's going, she's married. Are they married or is she single? I assume she's married.
I'm assuming they're married.
Yeah, because they have kids. She's married to Miguel Galindo, the head of the cartel. What? So, yeah, it's like, that can't be good. And obviously, Easy and Emily have that moment when he's down in TJ and they stop. You know, like, you ever have that moment of recognition when you see somebody?
What the?
Yeah, it's like, what's going on? So you immediately, and she's looking at him and she's looking at him. So immediately, you know, they have a history. The flashbacks reveal, you know, that they were lovers in high school or whatever. But who would have thought she would have ended up marrying, you know, the head of the cartel? And so, yeah, that's obviously going to be a conflict. And, you know, I'm calling it right now, man. I want to see Easy get the girl back.
You want to see him get the girl back? I think there's going to be a lot of blood. Well, now we're getting the predictions. We'll get to that. We're going to touch upon that.
All right.
But, yeah, that was a beautiful moment. And she's all in her nice white suit, passing off the baby to the nanny, right? And then what's right behind her? The mouse.
Yeah, the little Olvidados kid.
The little Olvidados kid. And we didn't know what the heck it was at first. We were just like, well, that's creepy.
Yeah. And what makes, and let's talk about this, I think, a good time to clarify. Mm-hmm. We've all seen the episode, but the Olvidados, they kind of come off more, they're not just gangsters, but they come off more of like Robin Hoods. You know what I mean? Because they're basically the victims of the cartel. Like the adults that have been shot or murdered by the cartel, they're the leftover families, you know, and the orphans on the street. And they're able to pull together and pull this kind of crew and exert some serious muscle back at the cartel. And it's all about getting back at the cartel for them.
Yeah. More breadcrumbs being dropped. That's the first place that Easy meets Aldita, too, is one of the kids stealing that ear of corn from the vendor, right? Mm-hmm. So he's running away, runs into Aldita, and right away, like I thought, love interest.
Yeah. It's immediate connection.
I was like, ooh. That's the meet cute. It's a meet cute between, I didn't know to what extreme.
Yeah, she's like a boss, man. She's like almost like a Che Guevara type figure, a female Che Guevara.
Yeah, she's totally boss, man. But I want to trail back a little bit to that Galindo M thing and how that's going to affect Easy later. Like, what do you think? Oh, man, I'll get back into predictions. Never mind.
Hey, wherever you want to go.
Wherever I want to go. How about the whole, what else do we have going on there? The Mayans, the Samoans, Afa, we covered that. We covered, what about Alvarez and his crew coming in now? Now, how does that affect what's going on in the border and the history between Alvarez and the Galindo family?
Yes, so apparently Alvarez used to work for Miguel's dad, right? Mm-hmm. They had a mutual respect. And apparently, you know, when I guess the father has passed or is out of the game, and he hands the torch off to his son, young Miguel, to run the cartel, and he doesn't have the same respect, you know, for the for the Mayans that his dad did, obviously.
He just looks at them.
I'm sure they're just like soldiers. You're going to be our little pawns moving around here. You guys go get shot up and get died. And, you know, and obviously Alvarez is an OG, you know, and he's big on keeping his word and loyalty. But we obviously see it's like, okay, how those loyalties are going to be tested.
That's a big theme in this thing. Mm. That's a big theme, what seems to have been dropped in this pilot. There's family. Mm-hmm. There's loyalty. Mm. Who are you loyal to? Are you loyal to the ideal? Mm-hmm. How do you make your way up? Mm-hmm. You know, what's also interesting in this show is the way that it was created as it's, you know, the difference between this and Sons of Anarchy, and I think it's been mentioned in a bunch of articles, and that this is what they've talked about, is that when you start with Sons of Anarchy, you start out with these guys who are the princes of charming, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is what Jax Teller is. You know, mm-hmm. he rolls in. You know, he buys a box of condoms. I think that's like in the pilot or something, right?
Yeah.
But we're seeing it now from the avenue of an outsider coming in, mm-hmm. right? From Easy, who is now, this is, I guess, is his only he has no other choice but to join the crew, mm-hmm. right, in order to, you know, in order to follow through with his deal with, mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's the DEA?
Yeah.
Is that what Jimenez is?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's DEA. I think he even had a little card that said DEA. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because I know more is going to be revealed about how he ended up in that situation, how he killed a cop.
Well, there was something mentioned about a dirty cop.
Okay.
I remember that.
Okay.
So earlier on, Bishop, played by Michael Irby, right, mm-hmm. when they're back in the dress shop, mm-hmm. he goes to one of the other Mayans, big dude with the tattoos, and he asks him, so what do you think about the prospect, because we need another guy on this run, mm-hmm. right? And he says, well, he was released. He was released because he got 20 years. There was a dirty cop, and the DEA cut 8 years off his sentence or something like that, right? So he was released early because they found that it was.
And so everything
cop.
Looks all up and up on his paperwork, too. Like, he's not a snitch.
So he's not a snitch. He's good. He says he really likes this kid.
Yeah.
There's another thing about Easy that we're starting to notice as well is this, like, idyllic, what is it, that memory, right, that he remembers things right off the bat.
Oh, okay, yes. Brother pointed that out. Somebody pointed that out,
like,
right?
He's always been like that. That's probably how he got into Stanford in the first place.
Okay, so he's got the photographic memory. They make it a point to let you know that he's real observant. He's observed the tattoo, so he's a sharp kid.
Right, so we got that going on. A lot of character stuff being drizzled in here. Mm. You know, it's interesting. It's a pilot, so it's like it's so hard to just nail it down and figure out what the show is about because there was so much story being dropped.
Yeah, laid it all out there. I'm sorry, keep finish your thought though.
But there's so much story being dropped. I feel like there's going to be so much more in the coming weeks.
I feel like we got like 6 years of material.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously, you know, Easy is our protagonist. Mm-hmm. We know he states very clearly when it all kind of comes out and he finally saying, look, I'm doing this, you know, to so my family, you know, can can live better. We can get this cartel off the streets. They've been taken. That's one of the things. The main enemies. The MC doesn't like the cartel, and Easy doesn't like the cartel. They've been kind of like useful allies at this point. But it's all about, if you're in the club, it's all about maintaining the identity of the club. And we're talking about Easy. You know, where's his loyalty going to be? We know it's going to be to his family ultimately. But I think he's gonna have to align with the club a little bit more. He's gonna choose loyalty. You can't join a gang where your brother's in the gang and you don't have loyalty to the gang.
Interesting point though that you just brought up is like Easy and the DEA agent are against the cartel. Alvarez and Bishop don't like the cartel. Angel doesn't like the cartel. The Los Olvidados don't like the cartel.
Yeah.
The cartel is the big antagonist.
The big bad.
Right? And it seems like what needs to happen is for all of those people to start talking to each other.
Bam!
Right?
Hot take right
and
there,
just saying,
baby. Hot take.
Why don't y'all just get into a group text, right? group text. Mata el Diablo, Resurrecto en Mexico.
Wait, are the feds listening? Can we say this in Texas?
Is this in Texas? I don't know. Right? Oh, man. But so much being laid down in that sense. Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm curious to... I want to see... Obviously, we want to see what's going on, how Easy comes up the ranks in the club. I don't... And I feel like the whole taking down the cartel thing, that's going to be like a long game thing. So basically, I think basically what we're looking at next, well, I don't know if we're, I'm already like skipping ahead, but I think, okay, what's next? How do we work out this little skirmish where the Samoans took the fall, but they have a feeling, or they know basically that the Olvidados are behind it. So that's the thing. That's the guessing game. Mm. They don't necessarily, the cartel knows that the Olvidados are behind the Jack, not the Samoans. They were just the front guys, the fall guys.
Right.
But he hasn't connected it to the motorcycle gang yet. That's the thing.
That's the thing. But he has connected it to the Olvidados.
Yeah.
Which scared the pants off of him, right? You saw that moment in Danny Pino's eyes, right? Uh-huh. Where he was just like,
because they've been like just calling him all kinds, right. Causing him all kinds of problems, right? Yeah. Like jacking his loads left and right and, you know, being a real thorn in his side.
You know what's not a thorn in your side?
What's not?
You know, other episodes, other shows that we have going on.
Not
here.
A thorn in the side.
Not a thorn in the side at all. You want to tell the AfterBuzz a little bit
What's the opposite of a thorn in the side? I don't know. Mm. Something that's good? Well, here we'll find out.
Let's find out.
All right. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're all optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. We'll give you a shout out. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Right on.
Bam.
Boom. Laid it down. Like a boss.
Yeah.
Nice.
Bossing up. Thank you, sir.
What else we got going on in this
crazy
episode?
To read something from the chat?
Yeah, let's see what's good. I'm here.
Yeah, the chat was popping, man. I'll just read these people were already commenting before we even went live. We got Kenneth Williams saying, "Beyond Badass, love episode one." Mm-hmm. We got Joey Ramirez, "If you never watch SOA, Sons of Anarchy, is watching the Mayans from the beginning going to have me lost?" No. Yeah, that's a good thing. You don't have to have seen all the Sons of Anarchy episodes. And let me scroll down. Man, we got a lot of people popping down here in the chat. Brownie, 8986. Ooh, yes, Pam. It's Pam. Is that a character?
I don't know.
I remember, who was Katie Seagal's character? What was her name?
Something Teller.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Help us out with the help of the name of a character. I'm down to see Nero. This is still Brownie. This is his come up for sure. Yeah. His badge said DEA. Okay.
All right.
Photographic memory. So he's basically just echoing this. Oh, he's on to these whole points that we had already kind of ticked off. Yeah. So yeah, keep the comments
Gemma
in the chat
Teller.
Coming. Gemma Teller. Okay.
Gemma Teller.
All right.
Thank you, IMDb.
Yeah. Gemma with the nice cameo.
Yes. Right on. Okay, we got a good check going on here.
Yeah.
Cool. You know what's going to be going on too? Hopefully in the next couple of weeks we're going to have some feminine point of views on this show as well.
We were talking about, man. Yeah. He's like, "Good guy here. I like working with my boy Jorge, but right. we need the mix up, not just all testosterone."
Yeah, we want to know what the ladies think about the show too, cuz I mean JD Pardo took his shirt off. I'm sure they love that.
I'm sure the ladies are going crazy. Yeah, that was a consummate. Either you had what's the kid who played the lead in Sons of Anarchy? They'd always have like the random butt shot.
When he's Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, Charlie. Yeah. They always get naked in the shower. So, ladies, this show has something for you guys.
He has a little something there for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, don't we got a little something in the news, too?
Yeah. I'm going to read you this quote. And actually, let me pull this up over here. Yeah, guys. So, Jorge had actually pointed out we got this nice hot take by Kurt Sutter in The Hollywood Reporter, and he breaks down about how he developed the show, the story, the writing, and I guess authenticity was one of the things that he's big on. And Jorge and I have the same kind of thought process in the sense that, you know, inclusion is great. We want to see that. But more importantly, we want to see a good story. We want to see it unfold organically. So I think he did a really good job with this. And this is what Kurt Sutter said. If I can pull this up. Oh, it's up there. There it goes. So I have to look at my phone. Okay. Yeah, you know what? That's BS. It's bullshit. It's a smaller pool, and you have to do a little bit more work. You have to dig a little deeper, and you have to make choices outside your comfort zone. But that's BS. I clearly am not a guy that gives a F about being politically correct. That's definitely him.
Kurt does not give an F.
Yeah, and not that I don't think it's important or I'm being disrespectful. It's just not a priority of mine. Hiring the right voices for the show, anything other than that doesn't make sense to me. With sons, I obviously wasn't raised in a motorcycle club world, but I did the research and I could relate to the small town, white, blue collar, working class needs and vulnerabilities. To me, that was my wheelhouse. I can imagine the plight and the challenges of being of color, but I can only imagine it, right? So there's only one dimension to that, and I needed people who experienced it. Like Elgin, is that the other?
Elgin.
Elgin, the other co-producer, yeah. And my other writers. Other than me, there were six. 3 men and 3 women. I was the only white guy. Bam! So shout out to Kurt Sutter, man. You know, we like his approach.
We love his approach. You know, I'm seeing that. I think the opening to that was in reference, the question that was asked to him was in reference to another showrunner talking about not being able to find enough Latinx writers for a show that he was running.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kurt Sutter was like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He didn't have that problem.
He didn't have that problem at all.
Yeah.
He filled the room. There are other shows out there that fill those rooms, you know. Mm-hmm. I do an AfterBuzz show for one of them, Queen of the South. They got a very diverse room, mm-hmm. right? Vita's got a very diverse room. I think this whole idea of inclusion and telling those stories, mm-hmm. And telling the stories the right way. I was listening to this to a K-Rock interview with Kurt Sutter this morning too, and mm-hmm. he was talking about how he was trying to learn Spanish.
Okay,
right? But he was like, "But Spanish is so, depending on where you are and who you're speaking to, it's very different."
In different dialects,
in different dialects. And then you have, like, the academic version of Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Like the Google Translate version of Spanish, right? And then you have the Spanish that's spoken in the streets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so you can learn Spanish. I mean, shoot, I tried to learn Spanish in high school. I got a D. You know? I learned Spanish until I started, like, working in restaurants.
Right.
And that's where I learned, man, tú sabes. You know?
Yo entiendo. And you can learn some of that Spanglish.
Right.
Oh, you know who doesn't speak Spanish is Creeper.
Hilarious.
This is the perfect time to call it that. That would have to be one of my favorite scenes.
Yes.
Okay, I know we're going to talk about building segments, mm-hmm. you know, like the MVP. And this is just off the top. That was my favorite scene. Okay. Creeper, you know, he gets shot up at the original, where the van gets jacked,
right.
And then he gets his shoulders ripped out and they're taking him to the medic, you know, who's like underground. They're going down this ditch and, you know, and then when they finally get to the doctor who's treating him, he's like, what is he saying? Cause I don't speak Spanish. And then this boy starts clowning
like,
him.
I'm an LA Mexican. Kill him, I'm an LA Mexican. Mexican.
Yeah. I don't speak Spanish. That was classic.
But get him a sex change.
Yeah. And then, oh, man, so they're clowning him and talking about, he wants a sex change. You know, he wants some lips like my mom. Is.
Why
hey,
you always got to make it weird? Why you always got to make it weird?
Where are you guys going? What are you talking about? So I like how they captured, like, that camaraderie and clowning your boy. So it was good stuff.
Yeah, they brought a little comedy into it. I think you need that, especially in a show like this. And that was a 1-hour drama that felt like, you know, a 90-minute movie at a theater, quite honestly.
Yeah, that was like a 10-course meal.
Yeah, that was fantastic. But you need that levity every now and again.
Yeah, it totally worked.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, one of my favorite scenes or my Mayan MVP moment. I guess we skipped ahead to that.
Okay.
To that little bit. I love that. Man, I really just love the reveal of when Miguel Galindo walks into the restaurant and it's her. And you're just like, oh, damn.
This can't be good.
That's not going to be good for anybody at all. Some S is about to go down, people. Some S is about to go down. So that's definitely one of my favorite
moments. Let's talk about Miguel's character. You know, it's he's not, okay, you know, he's definitely not like a a typical, as you would think of it, somebody who was like a head of a cartel. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not like an El Chapo. He's like, you know, three-piece suit. He has his professional life going on. And mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, I'm not really familiar with the culture down there, but, you know, I'm sure he's looked up to. He's probably like a good guy, you know, Fortune 500, whatever.
He seems like a guy that was like, that might have gone to Harvard.
Yeah.
Or Princeton or something like that.
Exactly.
He must have gone to some like Ivy League school.
Exactly.
He plays golf.
He has all those trappings on the outside.
Yeah, he's got all that going on. Probably keeps a nice, you know, a nice front, but on the inside, wears a raincoat. And
yeah.
Like, I'm going to chop you up, sucker.
Yeah. So there's something, there's always something like, I think, very dynamic about those type of characters. But yeah, we're going to see how, like, and really, like, I guess, you know, how deep we can go with that character. You know, he seems, I think we've only just scratched the surface, like, with, I don't know, like, with his evil.
Yeah. Well, is it evil? Is it just danger? It's like everybody's got this sense of danger.
Danger.
In their eyes, yeah. Too. Like, you don't know. It's the Wild West out there,
well, can
man.
Can I say this, man? There's nothing like that scene you're talking about, that element of danger, when they're rolling in a TJ. And you see the working girls hanging outside, and people getting drunk, and you see the homeless kids, and they got the music playing. It's that feeling of like anything can happen right now.
Yeah, that beat. You're just definitely. Like, yeah, it's a very much an edge on your seat kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even all right, here's another MVP moment for you. So when Easy comes and he meets El Padrino for the first time, mm-hmm. and he's about to shake his hand, he just drops his keys.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah. Take it around and wash it in the back.
Guess it up. Detail it. I don't want to see a speck of dust in my boys too. It's like, yeah, all right.
Can I say this too about that? Just the name Easy too. They kept saying Easy. I love the reveal that his name was Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. People help us out about that. I don't remember Ezekiel is like exact role in the Bible.
It's a biblical name.
But it's a biblical mm-hmm. name. We know it's something significant. So obviously that's going to be telling, I think, and somewhat revealing about Easy's character.
Right on. Right on. Should we get into predictions?
Let's do it.
Let's do some predictions. Let's talk about what's going to happen next.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now, I noticed, Al, that you don't like to watch the previews for the next season. I took note from you. I didn't watch the previews for the next episode either, so this should be fun.
Okay.
What we got? What are you thinking?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, obviously, they've foreshadowed that Easy's going to have some type of romance with Adelita because they're cut from the same cloth. You know, these two people are like people of integrity and who want to do the right thing. And obviously, you know, it's going to be dangerous because where's his loyalty to? You know, he can't be too loyal to the Olvidados because he has to be as loyal to the club and to his brother. But that relationship's going to be interesting. But man, Easy's going to be getting all the girlies, man, because we know he's going to hook back up with his ex too at some point.
At some point.
At some point, they're going to get it on popping. Yeah. And I wonder what happened to the kid. I don't know. Did she have the kid? One of those kids, his kids? Or did she get an abortion? We'll see.
Oh, yeah. That kid would be 8 years old right now.
Okay.
If she did have the kid. She did say she had to make the decision.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was her decision.
It was her decision. And you made this decision. I'm going to make mine. Bam!
Right. That was classic.
Like, thank you for leaving me with that. Yeah. Wait, can we talk about this? Hang on a second. Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
So, is that kid around?
Secret baby floating around? I don't know.
Let's see. I think some stuff is going to go down with Coco and Gilly.
Okay, specifically.
Well, in the sense that I don't trust them very much.
Okay.
And, you know, like Coco had that line, we trust them until we can't trust them.
Was he the one who kept saying, my bad?
Yeah, I like his character.
The
little pendejo there.
Yeah.
They kept on saying that. So I think some stuff is going to go down that way. Mm. I think Alvarez and Bishop are going to wise up to the cartel.
Okay.
You know? I think I think there's going to be some war that's going to be started.
Blood is going to be spilled.
Blood is going to be spilled. Mm-hmm. Man, somebody's going to have to go.
Because
there's so many traitors in your midst, right? So somebody's going to have to go.
Who's not long for this world?
Is that a game?
Yeah. I'm going to the chat. Brownie says Blanquita is going to cause trouble. Who is Blanquita?
I think he's talking about Emily.
Oh, the white girl. Yeah. right.
Tu sabe, I hear
you.
Yeah. What are some other predictions? Anybody else got predictions on there?
There was a U.S. flag up. Maybe she helps him get his stuff across the border, but we probably shouldn't trust her, though. Still, yeah, definitely not. Easy is a known nickname. Yes, we talk about Easy's name. Mm-hmm. And Corey Fleming's, I hope they're all that long. It would be. I'm an L.A. Mexican. Oh, somebody, shout out to that line. I'm an L.A. Mexican. Mexican. So that's the tagline. Anyway, so that's all I got right now.
All right, y'all. Well, that's all we got for this week. We'll be back next week with episode 2 of Mayans MC, and hopefully a couple of other panelists to bring in a little bit of the female perspective.
Yep, yep.
Why don't you guys leave us some comments on the episode below, and we'll give you a shout-out.
Everybody, it's your boy, Al G. You can find me on Twitter, at Jamaica House Doc. It should be right below. And I also host on Better Call Saul. So check us out. And yeah, I like working with my man here. We got a good squad. Yeah. We got a good team. Yeah. And we're looking forward to having a nice season.
Yeah. I'm Jorge Payo. You can find me at The El Jorge on all of my social media. And tomorrow night, do the Castle Rock show. And Thursday night, Queen of the South. Peace out.
Bam.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.